Please be seated. Good morning. During this season of Lent, as we're walking through this season, we're also kind of walking through our journey of stewardship. And we've had various events inviting you to come by. We have one after the 11:15 service today, which you're welcome to come to as well. And we've also had the gift of people sharing stories, their own personal spiritual journeys and stewardship stories, both at the gatherings and also here on Sunday. Ricky Barker shared a powerful story last Sunday. And today we have a parishioner, Frank Riccio, who's with us. And he's someone who's been with our parish, he and his family, only about 2 or 3 years, about 3 years, I guess it is. And so he comes with a kind of an experience just the last few years and can share a bit of his story. Many of us have been here for various times. And we have various experiences. And Frank comes with that perspective of just a few years. So I'd like to invite him to come on forward and share his story with us.
Good morning. I'm a little bit wired. I've been up since about 6:15 this morning. So this is the second service I had to come to. And a lot of you probably have seen in the bulletins before something about a 7:30 service. And believe me, I didn't believe it until I was there this morning. And trust me, there really is a 7:30 service here. I felt like telling the people, you know, there is a 9 o'clock service you could be going to. But anyway, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Francisco Jose Rosales Riccio y Brooks, but you can just call me Frank. With my wife Katie and two sons, Ben and Eddie, I regularly attend the 9 o'clock service here at St. Paul's. It is an honor to be with you today as the winner of the Be George for a Day competition. Before today, I talked with my wife Katie about how I would like to go ahead and stand in front of you, just like George does. And then I realized there's no way I can do that. She says, you're not really thinking about doing it like George is. And I said, well, maybe. And then she said, come on, Frank, there's only one George. Only George can do that. That's what he does. So bear with me as I speak to you today. I will be reading, much like I do in front of the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court. I still get nervous every now and then. About 3 weeks ago, I was enjoying a conversation with someone during the coffee hour when Ann Lockhart grabbed my arm and said, I have someone you need to talk to. She dragged me over to where Rick Bradley was standing, and she said to Rick, here he is, and she walked away. Rick smiled at me and said, how do you like to talk to people about your decision to give to St. Paul's? Rick continued by saying that the stewardship committee was looking for people that are relatively new to St. Paul's to speak, you know, people who have been around St. Paul's 2 or 3 years. Rick said that I could speak at one of the wine and cheese events the stewardship committee was hosting. Without thinking, I said, okay. A few days passed and Rick sent me an email which said, we really could use someone at the Sunday services. Growing a little bit concerned, I reluctantly agreed. The next email came from George thanking me for agreeing to speak at all 3 services on Sunday. Speaking to a group of people at a wine and cheese event is one thing. I figured I could give my little speech at the end of the event when half the people had left and the other half weren't really paying attention. And then came the crowning moment, Ricky Barker's story at last week's service. If you were here last week, then you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't here, let me just say it was a truly moving story. After the service, I ran into Brad Williford, who, knowing I had to speak today, laughed and, enjoying my predicament, said, you have a tough act to follow. So the last week I have struggled to answer the question posed to me by Rick Bradley. Why do Katie and I give to St. Paul's? And why should someone who has been at St. Paul's for 2 to 3 years also give to St. Paul's? I've struggled to come up with something to say. I asked others who attend St. Paul's to help me with today's speech, and I got responses like, just keep it short. I don't know, but don't say anything about tithing. George simply said, just speak from your heart. Thanks a lot, George. I even spoke to my best friend, who I consider a good public speaker, and he provided the following advice. Speeches need to be like skirts, long enough to be respectable, but short enough to keep everyone's interest. Needless to say, none of this so-called advice was very helpful. Beginning to feel a little bit desperate, I decided to drop by Melanie Fairbrother's office to look at today's program. I thought, maybe, just maybe, I had misunderstood what Rick Bradley had asked me to do, and my name would not appear in today's program. I opened up the program, and there it was. You can see it yourselves. Homily, Frank Brisio. My hopes were dashed. Then, in what simply must be characterized as a moment of divine intervention, I had my own little epiphany. I looked at the gospel reading for today, and it all became clear. I knew then why I, a parishioner for 3 years, was asked to speak today about pledging. Let me read to you again the end of today's gospel passage. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for the fruit and fruit on it, and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have been coming looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." George, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure about this. Basically, the message to gain from today's passage is this. If you have been coming to St. Paul's for 2 or 3 years, and you haven't made a pledge, we're going to take you out behind the kids' club building, next to the tool shed, and dump a bunch of manure on you. And then we'll see if that will cause you to make a contribution next year. I understand that some of you will not respond to such threats, so let me share with you my family story. Maybe that will be more persuasive. We first came to St. Paul's because of Mary Catherine Troxler. She is the director of the St. Paul's Preschool. She is a tremendous ambassador for St. Paul's. My wife and I were so impressed by her that we sent our first son to St. Paul's Preschool. We later also sent Eddie to preschool at St. Paul's. Their time at the St. Paul's Preschool was nothing short of a fantastic growing experience for them. But that is the reason we started coming to St. Paul's, not the reason we give to St. Paul's. I know why we give money to my high school and my college. I recognize that without my education, I would not be where I am today. But as I thought about what I would say today, I found it difficult to formulate a reason why I give money to St. Paul's. As I reflected on the question, I thought not only about what a great experience my children had in the preschool, I thought about all the wonderful friends I have made in the last 2 or 3 years here. But ultimately, I came to the realization that Ricky Barker's story is the reason that our family gives to St. Paul's. Ricky Barker shared with us his painful experience as the child of an alcoholic. He shared with us the shame he felt from living a life of poverty. He shared with us the loneliness he experienced. In the end, Ricky shared with us the role Christ had in providing him a comfort in the face of all this pain, poverty, and loneliness. My childhood life was diametrically different from Ricky's childhood. Overwhelmingly, my childhood was filled with love, friendship, and material plenty. I never once doubted that my father loved me. I never once doubted that my mother loved me. I have had not only but an abundance of friends, but high-quality friends. I have had the opportunity to attend a private high school and a private college without incurring a single cent of student debt. And now I live in a nice house, though Katie insists we need a bigger kitchen and something other than a table in our dining room. I would say I drive a nice car, but I don't. I drive a minivan, which Barb McGee informs me is called a loser cruiser. But other than driving a loser cruiser and being relegated to the purgatory, better known as being an NC State fan, I have had and continue to live an awesome life. And even though my past has been so different than Ricky's, his story is still the reason our family gives to St. Paul's. Esse quam videri. That's not a phrase that appears in the Bible, at least not that I'm aware of. Every person who attended 4th or 5th grade in North Carolina knows that Esse quam videri is the motto of the state of North Carolina. It means to be rather than to seem. I think that motto also fits St. Paul's and the Episcopal Church. I'm an attorney, and on occasion I have to take the depositions of witnesses in cases. A deposition in legal terms is different from a deposition in biblical terms. In legal terms, a deposition is when you get a statement under oath from a witness. At the outset of a deposition, the court reporter swears in the witness, just like you see on TV, asking, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" And then the witness says, "I do." The funny thing is, oftentimes, what follows is minutes, even hours, of witnesses trying to avoid telling the truth. It seems like they're supposed to be there to tell the truth, but in fact, they spend the whole time avoiding it. That is not the case with the Episcopal Church. Esse quam videri has been adopted in spirit by the Episcopal Church. When a child is baptized, the priest asks us, "Will you respect the dignity of every human being?" And we respond, "I will, with God's help." Every week during the confession of sin, we say, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. The sign at the entrance of St. Paul's reads, welcome. These are not simply words at the Episcopal Church or at St. Paul's. They are, rather, a way of life. One thing that is not discussed much in my family is my father's once upon a time threat to commit suicide. It was not until I was 42 years old, basically last year, that my mother shared that information with me. Why would he threaten to commit suicide? Well, he had been publicly humiliated for driving drunk. The newspaper ran an editorial castigating him for his conduct. The church he belonged to, which was not an Episcopal church, asked him to step down from his leadership position. He was alone and suffering pain. Sitting on his front lawn with a shotgun in his hand was not an attempt to kill himself. It was the proverbial cry for help. The Episcopal Church answered that call. They welcomed him. They loved him as Christ commanded us to love our neighbor. They respected his dignity as a human being. Just as Christ was there to comfort Ricky, the Episcopal Church was there to comfort my grandfather. Every month, Katie and I save money for our retirement. Every month, we put money into our kids' college savings accounts. We save money for vacations and treat ourselves to trips to Disney, the mountains, and the beach. We also give money to St. Paul's. Our contribution to St. Paul's is a small thank you to the Episcopal Church for being there to comfort my grandfather when he most needed it. It is also a way to perpetuate the living of the words that we recite at baptisms and at weekly services. How much do we give? I'll tell you exactly how much. More than zero, but less than we can afford. We give as much as we feel comfortable giving. I pray that you have not experienced what Ricky experienced in his childhood. I hope that your life has been as special as mine. Regardless, when you consider making a pledge to St. Paul's, contemplate how you or someone you love has benefited from the Episcopal Church. Consider the possibility that your child may one day need the love and comfort offered by Christ to Ricky, the same love and comfort offered by the Episcopal Church to my grandfather. Amen.
I just want to thank Frank for speaking from the heart and sharing his story. And all of us have a story. All of us have a narrative that shapes and forms our lives. And it's not so often that we share that narrative with each other, but it's the place so often from where we live our lives. And we are a gathering of stories and narratives and experiences and ways that we have been touched in our lives. Particularly what we share in common is the way this faith community here at St. Paul's has touched all of our lives. All of our lives. And so at this time of the year, we invite you to step forward and to make a commitment, to make a pledge to support this faith community, this place of gathering, where we come together and share our lives. We have about 678 or 680 families here at St. Paul's. 1,909 parishioners, I'm told by Gene Duell from the other day. Of those about 680 families, about half make a pledge to St. Paul's. Last year we had 338 families make a pledge to St. Paul's. And you know what? That's pretty typical. As a matter of fact, in the world of stewardship, it said when half your members pledge, that's a sign of some real healthy things going on. But I don't know, there's part of me that says St. Paul's is not typical in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, we are not a typical parish. And so we've set a goal this year of more participation in our stewardship. Our goal is 75% participation. We'd like to see 450 families come forward and make a pledge and make a commitment from the narrative, from the journey, from the story that they have in their lives, the way they've been touched in their life. It really is a conversation between you and God, you and the Holy One, you and the wondrous one beyond us, with whom we have a relationship. And that relationship is fed and nourished here as we journey together. How can we come forward and make a commitment and make a pledge of money, of our money, that we think is ours, but really is God's, and to share some of that for the ministry here at St. Paul's? On a practical level, we need to know what people are going to give so we can plan. It's like each of you needs to know pretty much what your salary is in order to figure out your expenses and things. Well, it's like that in a parish. We need to know what we can do over the year based on what our income is going to be. And what we're doing is, we hope, is the work of God and living into the vision. And so we ask for your support. If you've never done this before, if you're sitting there going, you know, I've only been at St. Paul's a couple of years and I've never done this before. I don't even know how you do this. We have pledge cards, and hopefully you've received one. If not, we have them today and we'll have them next Sunday. And you just make a commitment of some kind of financial support for St. Paul's that you're going to give from April 1 to March 31st of next year. Is it March 31st? I don't know how many days are in March. Of next year. It may be a few $100. It may be a few $1,000. It may be whatever it is for you. Start. Just start. So often in life we think, you know, I'll start when I get over here. But I've always said in the spiritual journey, you start from right where you are. And begin and come into the water, wade into the deep, and begin that journey. So next Sunday we'll invite, it's a very special Sunday, we invite us to come forward to place our pledge card in a basket that will be on the altar. Now some of you may have already mailed in your pledge card, you may have already given in your pledge card, and that's wonderful, but we'll still invite you to come forward and bring your gift to the altar, saying thanks. Thanks to God for the gift of faith we have, the community we share here at St. Paul's, for the narrative and stories that we share together, and believing that we can go forth living ever more deeply into this vision God has. So I ask you this day to spend this week, this Lenten week, in prayer of how you can give a gift and make a gift to support what I find is an incredible parish here at St. Paul's, how we can support each other as we move forward in faith.